Hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello.
How you doing?
Fine.
Okay, I guess the reason why I have you today is to talk about and discuss urban renewal. I understand that you came here to be a lawyer in the 1961. So can you please explain your perception of urban renewal when you came here and when you got involved with lawyers and certain cases?
Well, my actual participation in the urban renewal process consisted of being a legal representative for landowners who were involved in the Brooklyn area, who owned property in the Brooklyn area. Most of those landlords that I represented, landowners that I represented, were the black churches that were located here within the confines of the Brooklyn Renewal area. I imagine I represented probably maybe 10 or 12, 15 black churches back then, and negotiating the fair market value of their property and trying to get them the best market price for their property, since they were all going to be forced to move. And my participation, I considered, was a success in that we were able to have court hearings and everything with appraisals and commissioners, and all the parties were satisfied. Urban renewal was in the process when I got here. It was a process where most of the landowners at the time were absentee landlords. And absentee landlords, and of course they and the owners were, even though they were absentee landlords, insisted on trying to get the best market value they could for their property. So it was an ongoing thing involving people who lived in the community. As I recall, the process would include relocation for tenants. The amount of money paid back then, I can't remember what, but there was a portion for the relocation of the actual tenant who did not own the property. There was no particular protest organized against urban renewal. Which most of the people who would be complaining would be tenants, and therefore not landowners, and not have much voice in the process. Okay?
Great answer. So you said that there was basically no protest at all. So what was...
No organized.
There was no organized process, but was there any type of protest by individuals, by...
Not that I recall, but... I don't recall any, but of course people who are being displaced and relocated are going to complain, but nothing in any kind of organized fashion.
Okay, so around 1961 to 1965, what exactly was the NAACP doing? I understand that they were involved in some civil rights cases, but what exactly, as far as urban renewal was concerned, basically, are you saying that segregation outweighed, the focus on segregation outweighed the process of urban renewal that was going on in the city?
I certainly would say that, because the NAACP was emerged in the fight against discrimination, voter rights, and all of those issues were at the forefront back then. Urban renewal was a relocation process that was removing undercoated housing from areas in near the downtown area, and some people could see that as a racist kind of thing, and it could have been. But the big issues for race back then was segregation, school segregation, and all the tenets that came along with state-enforced segregation. Also, you got to remember back then, as you don't know, back then there was very little job opportunities for blacks. And the NAACP got involved in integrating school teachers even before the local schools integrated. Teachers were integrated first on a small scale, but that was a part of the NAACP's efforts. You know, black leaders back at that time, Dr. Hawkins, Dr. Bishop Leak, and Tom White, and Charles Bell, and Walter Nivens, and I can't think of Kelly Alexander, Fred Alexander, a whole bunch of them. I don't want to overlook anybody, but all of those people were out there working hard to remove as best they could the segregated society that we were living in.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about Thomas White?
When I came here, I was in the office with Tom White for about 3 years down on Alexander Street. And we moved from there to 3rd and Brevard. Tom was the local lawyer for the NAACP. And then I think he became a state representative for the NAACP. But most cases that came up that involved discrimination came at some point across his desk, and it kept him quite busy. But then, of course, we started to associate other lawyers because the task was getting too big for one lawyer, so his role was very vital back then.
Okay, so what about Fred and Kelly Alexander? How was that leadership pattern? How were they as leaders?
Of course, Kelly was the president of state NAACP